50 years old. Not one of those gals who's afraid to tell her real age. And I like to kick. And kick. 50 years old.
That's right.
50 years old.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, do you want... Are you gonna...
Yeah, I'll try.
Still in.
Welcome back, Analysis listeners. Want to welcome back to the podcast, Jules Sibes. Jules.
Hey, I'm back.
Welcome
back.
Today, we are going to be talking about a Netflix streaming movie that has kind of crossed into pop culture conversation because of the Academy Awards nominations. It's honestly the first time I've kind of heard about this because I believe it was released during the writer's strike and it was Netflix and streaming, and it wasn't one of those really popular Netflix streaming movies,
right,
but has had some acclaim. And so it got registered as a suggested movie by some of my movie friends, including Matt Hayes. But we're going to be talking about NIAID.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Matt, for suggesting it, because it's a very important topic to talk about.
Yeah, and you're here specifically, Julie, because as I was watching it, and I was watching it with my lovely fiance Brecken, who adored this movie. Yes. And we just kept saying, Julie has to see this. Aunt Julie has to see this. And we're going to get into why me and her were saying Julie has to see this while we were watching. But the first thing I want to say is this character, in a weird way, reminded me of the Molly Shannon SNL character, Sally O'Malley. Do you remember?
Okay.
Do you remember?
I can stretch
and kick,
and I'm 50
years old.
And I love when she auditions for stuff, and everybody loves Sally O'Malley.
Yeah, she comes out and people
lose of auditions.
I think there's one where she's auditioning for
Danny DeVito. Is incredible.
Yeah, there's one where she's auditioning for the Sopranos like strip club, and so there's a bunch of Sopranos impressions happening, but she's auditioning. I'm 50,
and she's always with these hot little numbers, these young chicks, and they'll come out and they'll say, "You were fabulous. Everybody else, go home."
Yeah,
Sally O'Malley is one of my favorites.
So this is like if Sally O'Malley was serious. That's what NIAID is. But it's actually, I want to hear your opinion, because this is, I would say, one of my top 5 to 10 favorite movies. I've already recommended it, obviously to you, but to a few other people. Take me first through, obviously we gave you a recommend, you went and watched it right away. How did you feel about it?
I loved it, and I'm going to be selfish about it because, one, I'm 60. I can kick. And I've gone through several marathon-like situations. So it was a very personally appealing story. I adore Annette Bening. I've grown up with Jodie Foster. She and I are the same age. I've watched her work forever. Annette Bening is one of our finest actresses and has been done dirty by the Academy for her whole career.
Oh, just wait for the Oscars episode.
Nominated. 5 times nominated, a brilliant actress. I love her. And so the fact that she took on this role and that they were together was so intriguing to me. And like I said, it was so inspiring to this time in my life that I really saw a lot of myself in the film, and I saw you in the film. And now, until you brought this out, now forever I'm going to see Sally O'Malley.
50.
Because it's very, very, she's just so singular-minded and determined and not afraid to fail. And it's such a great story, and their performances were wonderful. Their dialogue with each other was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
so inspiring. It really, I laughed, I cried. And you know, sports films and I are not, I usually don't watch sports films.
Yeah, but you're not like powered up by Hoosiers.
No. Although I loved Hoosiers when I saw it many years ago, but it's not my go-to genre. You know, I'm your classic film specialist, self-proclaimed. And so I feel like women in film, this is our moment.
Yeah.
Like we've got some really great actresses that are doing great work and they're getting recognized. And I think that's wonderful. So I'm all about it. And the fact that it was, if you look at the Netflix algorithm, it's under sports films and LGBTQ are in the algorithm.
Yeah.
And it's not, that's not, I mean, I don't know how to say it. That's not the central thing, theme of what the movie is that they're two queer women, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just about their relationship as friends, which I love. So
I think, so there was, to start with your last statement there about the LGBTQ, there was a moment where she's coming up in Key West, which is a town that loves the LGBTQ.
Absolutely.
And there's pride flags. And that was something that Brecken, she was just, the act three, she was just crying the whole way through. And that's a testament to how much you're pulling for not just the journey of Diana Nyad, who is debatably unlikable, but just that the whole team and that team effort. But as she's coming up onto the beach and you see the flags and you're reminded of some of that as well as part of the narrative. And she was like, and they've got the pride flags out for her. And she was really touched by that. And I was as well. I think there was a lot that you said there that I'm going to yes. And, but I wanted to kind of circle back to something I didn't necessarily think about when it came to you, but I want to maybe explore a little more is when those special moments when a movie connects with you because it's a great movie, but also because you're almost running alongside the life experience and the time of that particular character or that particular like moment in your life. So the movie is released, you're seeing it in real time, but it's talking about themes that for me, I'm in my late 30s. And so sometimes these movies come along and the characters are in their late 30s and maybe they're getting engaged or they're getting married or they're going through things. And you're like, yes, like this is so dead on to what my experience is. And yes, it just makes it like that much more of a connection. And one of my favorite movies is Good Will Hunting. Right. But that movie came out in 97. I was a young man. I've grown to appreciate it and love it. And now it's just this nostalgia ride that I like to reconnect with. But when it came out, like I wasn't in my 20s and I wasn't, you know, going through similar experiences that the characters were. I loved it. But, you know, some people were in their 20s and were trying to figure out relationships and what that means. They maybe were finding out the value of therapy and then maybe they were rediscovering the next phase of their life and where they're going to go and things like that. So it's like, I think it would be even better to have that experience in that time, I guess. But there's times where you're in high school and a high school movie comes out.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, this is
me.
I'm living. You know?
I can see myself, right?
And for you, I love the spirit and as Diana Nyad, I guess we can just cut to the end of the movie and you kind of know when you start the movie, you can kind of, you know, maybe some people knew the story before the movie was made or you kind of know she's going to make it. Like, you know, she's not going to die in the ocean. It's not the vibes of the movie. You're like, okay, eventually she's going to come up and finish this incredible feat. When she's coming up and she lists the three things and it's really her self-discovery when she's, it's part of her journey, but she says one is never, ever, ever give up. And two is you're never too old to chase your dreams. Oh, and three
hysterical.
Is it looks like a solitary sport, but it takes a team. And that's a big part of her journey is her realizing and respecting and collaborating with her team more instead of being such a commander.
So solitary. Yes.
And I think for you, one and two really hit because just speaking personally, you're somebody that's finding some of your most ambitious fitness goals.
Yes.
You are achieving as you're bumping up to the age of 60.
Yes.
And what limiting beliefs sometimes people say, how you can continue to redefine. And I think that's the spirit of Sally O'Malley. That's where I keep coming back to it, where it's like,
yes,
it's the pride of it's not, my age isn't something that I'm going to use. I'm going to redefine myself. And it's going to be a motivating factor. And so, you know, I can do the longest run I've ever done in my life at 60, at a time that I didn't, like, I would have never thought I could. But when you start training and you start believing, and then people believe in you, and you do that, and you, me and you do these Disney runs together, for anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah. But
we go to Walt Disney World, and we stay for a couple days, and we dress up like stupid characters. I'll put some of the images on social media under the analysis page so you guys can see. But we dress up as like the genie and the carpet, and we'll do a half marathon. And you've never ran that distance before.
No.
And here you are, and you go at your own pace. We're not out there setting records, but you're able to train, you're able to do these things and you know, realize goals and accomplish them. And I think it's that age is a number, and shut out anybody that's telling you or having limiting beliefs, and you're never too old to accomplish your dreams. I think that's beautiful.
It's so inspiring. And the part of it, like, one part, there were so many things that reminded me of you. And I think I texted you right after I watched it, and I said, you're my Bonnie. And I think it's because watching you run your marathon and watching your spirit and your power and going through that, and how grueling physically running a marathon is, and then you inspiring me, and then me training for this half marathon. And we did the 10 mile at Disney last year. I'll try and be fast, but we got to a point where you were just like Bonnie. Like, when Bonnie, when she jumps in the water, and I can spoil, right? Like,
we're
here. Diana's in the water and she's at the end, like she's
hallucinating.
She's falling asleep.
She's seen the Taj Mahal, and it's like, we're going downhill. Yeah.
And she's been through it before, but that when the captain of the boat says, if we don't get her running faster, we're going to be in Africa because of the current. Yeah. And so she gets in and she just kept saying, don't touch me. Don't touch me, because that'll disqualify her.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bonnie gets in and she's like, all I want you to do is just move your arm, just one stroke.
Yeah.
When we were at Disney, you'd be like, I just want you to get to that sign.
Yeah.
And then we'll get water and it's going to be good. We're just going to get to that sign. And I would get to that sign, and you're like, now we're going to get to
and that.
And never in my mind am I thinking to myself, he's just like jerk, like taking me along. Like, I know I have 8 more miles to go, or whatever it is. It was just in that moment saying, I'm just asking of you one more step forward. And then your mind, your brain, you can talk yourself with Bonnie. I don't think she could have done it without Bonnie there talking to her that whole time.
And when the team fades away, she realizes it. It's not until her team is gone and she's got the guys and she's like, okay, Bonnie normally gives me my fluids, and then she slaps the water, and here's the thing. And so here, and the guy looks at her sideways.
Like, what the hell?
And it took that team to be that invested, and they had to learn through all of that failure. I think that's a great lesson, is
it took her the 5 tries.
And it's like, we're getting close. We're figuring out how to do this swim because of all the challenges in it. So they had to figure out the mask. They had to figure out the stingrays. They had to figure out the how to do the
obstacles
and, you know, and all that stuff. And then you need the perfect weather. And so it's just like, but she realized, she's like, oh, I need somebody that's as passionate and committed. And you really have to take your hat off to the navigator, the guy who sadly passes away. It's so great that he was able to be there when they were able to accomplish it. But like, obviously Brecken kept going, I want Bonnie to get a chance to go to the Oscars. And I'm so glad that that they're telling this story in this movie so that not just Diana Nyad gets the credit, but they're focusing on this whole team. And she's Bonnie ends up being the hero of the story because Diana's kind of selfish.
As an athlete, though, because I definitely consider you more of an athlete than me, for sure.
And Matt Hayes is laughing all the way because he sprints past me.
That single-mindedness is really necessary in being a great athlete. Right? I mean, you have to be defying all the odds and everything. You have to be singularly focused. So for that, especially that sport with marathon swimming, I mean, if you think about it, the ocean, there's no other side of the pool. Like I had a sign that would be this is mile 8. I had tangible things in front of me. When you get in that water, there's nothing. There's nothing to look
until she sees that horizon. And she said, look, can you see that horizon? It's the last time even. Yeah.
You're there. This is look ahead. And I think to myself, the fact that these two incredible actresses pulled off this they brought this relationship, so much honesty, so much intimacy as friends. It was just so beautiful to see. And I don't know if two other actresses could have done it, to be honest.
Yeah, I wanted to give praise to the screenwriter because I was reflecting after the movie and I was like, they were able, you've got all these little narratives that come home for you and end up being emotionally gripping. And it's to be able to string that together while also they were able to establish that Bonnie and Diana relationship so strongly in just some really small moments with them playing Scrabble.
They wove that together was brilliant.
Then to think about all the swimming stuff that they had to do, just all the actual scenes where she's swimming and you've got her hallucinating and they're accomplishing a lot in the movie. You've got actual cut scenage of the attempts that were happening. I thought that was a creative film element. But then you've got all these little stories, all these little stories happening around. And you're able to have time to get to love that navigator and also the guys, the paddle guys with the sharks. You've got all of this happening narratively, but also you fall in love with those characters, but you also have the layers of the friendship that was so strong. Like that was all really, really well measured and thought out to accomplish all of that in the same 2-hour narrative.
And that was the reason why they both signed on, was because they loved the script so much. Mm-hmm. And they thought that they could get all of these things, because they also allude to her past abuse from a
coach. They're able to get that in there, and it's a important part of the story. That's a great point,
because it creates also her ability, I think, to fully remove herself from reality when she's swimming and she's singing and she's counting, and that she can leave her body like that, I think, is part of the survival of being an abused child, you mm-hmm. know. And so all of that contributes, and they didn't, I don't know how they did it. It was just a few minutes
little tiny editing. Cause I'm like, oh, we're doing flashbacks, but we're also meeting 5 new characters, but we're also having this friendship evolve. It was so well done screen wise and narratively.
And those characters were built so beautifully. I mean, I was so attached to all of those people. And then when she goes, as you mentioned earlier, when she goes with that other crew, when they're like, we can't do this, we're broke, I have to go back to work, like, I can't just hang out with you for the rest of my life. And she gets these other people that don't care. It makes all the difference in the world. She was blessed to have those people.
Do you want to know what it reminded me of, the team and the blessing of the team? And I hope this makes sense, and I hope I'm saying this with the utmost respect. the tech theater people. And I always thought like, it, because I'm such an attention hoe, and I need my glory and I need spotlight. Anyone that listens, know that.
Very clear. Yeah.
I always was like kind of shocked that there was people that wanted to hang lights, and there was people that wanted to run a soundboard and wanted to do these things. And I they're so integral to pulling off a show. And that there's all these like unsung roles. Like I work in a sales office, and you've got these like accounting teams and the credentialing people. And it's just like, there's no glory in that, but it's like all of it needs to happen in order to pull the thing off. Yeah. And I'm just like I'm such a, my mind goes so much to like chasing that glory, but it's like, you've got to like appreciate and respect like all the people that help you get there, you know what I mean? And so like, absolutely. that's what that team reminded me of. It reminded me of like the tech people that are like just as important, you know, as the actors.
And the fact of the matter is that in a lot of interviews that Jody did with Annette when they were promoting the film, Jody said that she's come to a point in her life as an actor where she knows that she's a contributor now. She's mm-hmm. not the lead. She's not running the show. And she said, I'm at a time in my life where I can work with the script people. I know where cameras should go. I know, and I can contribute my wisdom, and I don't have to be that person anymore. And so that's another added part of it, is that there are people that spend their whole lives wanting to be those roles.
Yeah.
Thank God for them. Like the fact that I think the actor's name is Reese, the captain, man who mapped mm-hmm. out everything. I mean, literally, if he was not there, he said to her, he said, if you don't do this, we'll be over here.
And I love that. We'll stick end your tongue up in out. Africa. Can you taste that? Can you taste the sands from Africa? Yeah. That's what we're dealing with. And you went with the World Cup nautical guy, and he didn't know these waters, and it takes and that you, it goes to mastery and it goes to experience mastery, but then you also you need to have the that perfect window that they're always looking for in terms of the weather. You also needed a perfect window of someone that this mattered to, that also had the mastery, because it took an intense dedication, and he wanted that accomplishment. He shared in that accomplishment and saw himself in that accomplishment as much as she did. You needed someone with that mindset.
Absolutely.
Also there, which is a miracle.
It is totally a
and
miracle.
And Jody, like, she, and there's a conflict later in Act Two where she's like, hey, like, I've got a life too, and I want to accomplish things personally.
That scene was incredible. And what am I just supposed to be attached to you for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And then there's kind of this inference from Diana. It's like, well, what else are you doing?
What else are you doing? And that's the selfish. Yeah.
And I remember when Diana did the first, when she was young, like I remember all of her attempts, and mm-hmm. I remember thinking she was obnoxious. I mean,
she's great. Well, and it goes back to what you were talking about with the frame of mind. And I always love these movies where, what does it take to achieve a breakthrough or achieve greatness? My favorite example is Whiplash, of just how he had to shed himself of any other thoughts or any other interests besides this singular focus. And it took all those hours and that dedication to get to the mastery. And, you know, there's other examples, and it's like, and a lot of times what you can kind of see, whether it's Barry Sanders and documentaries about him, and he talks about his dad, or whether it's Michael Jordan. And, you know, I think it takes a little bit of an imbalance. But some of the things I think are pretty, they're patterns, at least I see, of these like great champions, whether it's Tiger Woods or Tom Brady or Barry Sanders or Michael Jordan. They have these mentors that live rent-free in their head. And her dad, she's constantly talking about her dad, and she's constantly going back to that, like, you know what it means in Greek,
exactly.
And Naya, you know, exactly. But like her dad, and she's like, and finally Jody's like, your dad's an asshole. But like, yeah, my dad is the reason why I'm here, and the reason why I'm so it's my destiny, and it's the reason why I have to like fulfill this destiny. But like, you kind of have to have that crazy mentor that lives in your head. You have to be a little imbalanced, and then you have to, it literally has to be a passion. It has to be your favorite thing to be great.
Yes.
To be the greatest at something.
To be the greatest and to want to do that actual activity that like it's life sustaining. And
not to have any, because she was like, there was a whole thing about, I don't want to have anyone else do it. Right. Like that other girl that was trying to do it. And she's like, the whole point is me being the first.
It's that I'm the only one. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there was a comment that was made about her not being his biological child.
At the very end, she's like, I'm not truly. And then Jody says, you're more Naiad than anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. God, Bonnie.
Bonnie, great. That was, she was such a great. Bonnie was the hero, really. Bonnie was the
for Guffman, Bonnie, the real Bonnie.
Bonnie, my wife, Bonnie. I was shopping for my wife, Bonnie, and I was picking out a pantsuit, and we got in a conversation about pantyhose. And anyway, it's not important. Thank you so much for bringing Corky into this conversation. I didn't think we'd get
when I texted you, I didn't want you to be confused when I said you're my Bonnie. I didn't want you to think that
my your imaginary wife that you buy pantsuits for. I think there's it reminds when it's the wanting to be the only person that does it, it's almost like I know you didn't watch Breaking Bad, but there's this scene that towards the end of the series where his partner, Jesse, goes, we've got more money than we can ever spend or anyone in our family can ever spend. I'm paraphrasing here. Yeah. But he's like, why? We can just walk away right now. Like, why are we still doing this thing?
Yeah.
And Walter White says, do you know what it's like to be the best at something? Like, I can't, like you, and he's trying to articulate, he's like, I'm the best at this, whether it's making meth or whether it's being the best basketball player. Like, I'm truly like, it's, you don't just walk away from being the, his point is you don't just walk away from being the best at something. I've built myself into the best at this. And like, I'm not just going to money aside. Like, this is my thing.
And especially because he was dying, correct?
Yeah. But like, it really was. No.
And I know. And that true. It truly,
he's the best.
And one of the other points, and I don't know why that's reminded me of this, but it was one of your other Bonnie moments that you would do with me a lot was because I was going through injuries and stuff in training, and you'd be like, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
This was actually one of the most freeing statements about life that you, my child, my nephew that's so young, gave me is like, what's the worst thing that could happen? They come with a truck and they pick us up and they take us to the end of the race. Who cares?
We go eat a Mickey bar.
Who cares? Like the freedom that you feel, especially at my age, of it doesn't matter. Like the only thing that matters is that you keep going. Like that it doesn't, that the fear of failure keeps so many people from doing something. That the freedom that it's, you can fail and it's fine.
Yeah.
It's funny that that so many people can't tell themselves that because they would do a lot more stuff if you had the mindset that it's fine if I fail, but so many people have the fear, and Diana just kept doing it. And so many naysayers would be like, why are you doing this again? This is annoying.
It fueled her. Honestly, when she would hear people say, and then there's a whole thing where it's like, well, a woman can't do it, but, and she's like, bullshit, you know? And I think that goes back to this great movement we're having right now in, I would say a little mini feminist film movement. And this year you've got Barbie, which had incredible feminist film themes that we talked about during the Annals analysis,
which I really prefer to the Oscars, actually.
Thank you. So it really is. It's a new movement. And then you've got Poor Things, which I don't know if you've seen yet.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Brace yourself for a lot of frontal nudity, but great feminist themes. You have this movie, and I think that's something that Brecken said, and I want to give her credit for that, because she was like, hey, this is like a really great time for movies with like powerful women and like powerful feminine themes. And I was like, you're right. Like, and they're, and not just that they're happening, but they're being recognized, you know, and they're being, so.
And if Annette, I mean, I'm just saying, it's like her work, her body of work is so incredible. I just really would love for her to win this, but, I think that with this could be a podcast in itself, but I'll try and keep it brief. I'm a classic film person, and we've had this in classic films. I had more positive female role models, women role models in classic films of powerful women with agency in their own mm-hmm. lives. I did in most of the 80s and 90s, to be honest. And I think
that was a time for me.
To see. It really was. I mean,
let's get more movies about the male perspective, the middle 30s male.
Objectified. And, you know, these things that took over this, you know, a lot of the 80s and 90s and early 2000s that now you look back on films and you're like, oh my gosh, this did not age well. Like even a film like Love Actually, I mean, you look back and you're thinking, we've come a long way. So let's see it on the screen.
That's a good point. What we need more of, Julie, is straight white male experiences told on screen. I'm not seeing it.
I feel like with Oppenheimer, I mean, I know a masterpiece, but
having sex, building bombs, men
at war is, I've seen it.
White guy yelling at another white guy. I love it. In a room. It's like 19 white dudes yelling at each other in a small courtroom.
We've been doing it for a long time. Yeah.
But I do love Oppenheimer. I know you do. I have a question for you.
Yes.
My question is, what element of this story was kind of the most jaw-dropping or what the hell? So I've got a couple of things here that I at least listed. How many hours she swam, which was 52 hours and 54 minutes, so about 53. So just the length of the swim. Mm-hmm. The storm that she tried to swim through. The stingrays.
The box jellyfish. Mm-hmm. The manta rays.
Those were and then the sharks. Like any of that where you kind of like, oh my god, because it just kept seeming to like get crazier and crazier as she was doing this. So what was the kind of the most like shocking part to you?
I think when the shark part was happening, I was really thrilled about that technology where they kind of ping the shark out of the area. But
well, and the failsafe was tennis ball at the end of stick.
They just, exactly. But I think that it's the sheer enormity of the length of time in that body of water with no, your only sense of equilibrium is that the side of the boat, which you can't mm-hmm. even touch. Like that's your only spatial ID mm-hmm. other than what someone's telling you. It really throws me off. What's the name of the movie with your favorite brunette actress that was in The Blind Side that won an Oscar, by the way?
Sandra Bullock.
Okay. So is she the one that's out in space? And she's like not tethered to the, that's the jaw dropping for me. The mm-hmm. untethered, the no
the darkness
of where I need a thing that's like, okay, run to that building or just to put my, and that might mean that my brain is not good with space, but it would be overwhelming to me. Yeah. And the sheer amount of hours, like the logistics of going to the bathroom, like all the things that your body does in those 52 hours. It's just,
I go to the bathroom every time I'm in the ocean. So that's actually the least amount. I was like, I've done everything in the ocean when it comes to bathroom. Okay. I've been on spring break.
What's going to hurt?
It was the swollen face saltwater stuff. How she would she'd just look ravaged when she would get on. She's like, let's try it next month. And I was like, good Lord. But then it was like, try five, six. I thought we'd maybe get like one or two tries. I didn't know it was that many. And then all of a sudden it's like death stingrays. I was like, good Lord.
I know. That's where you really are hit by the fact that her single-mindedness bordering on, you know, mental health.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like a death wish kind of thing where you're mm-hmm. thinking all of the different things that could go wrong, but her sheer determination to get through it is something that is not a brain that functions like mine. Because yeah, I'm always thinking of worst possible thing and all these different situations, but the sheer enormity of it is how she would split it into these, what's the word? Like things that her brain could accept.
Yeah.
And that's why the music, she had the playlist in her mind.
And they played a lot of the music over the top. And that was cool how they told you, like, it's got to be in this particular, every song has to have this
time. And that she has to keep her strokes in the, so that was the part where she could have control over her environment, was mm-hmm. through those habits that she had built for since she was a kid.
Yeah.
But that looking out into the abyss and thinking, this is it. Like, I've got to do this for the next 52 hours. Bob, yeah. When you and I did this last race, it was like, it's like a little teensy run. Just
but it is inspiring, because me and Brecken were doing this workout class and I always quit during it because, you know,
you're going to throw
up. I can run, but some of this CrossFit stuff. But like, and Brecken was like, she was thinking about Naiad
the
class.
And powering like, through.
I did more power because of Naiad. She like, and then we were talking, we're lame, and we start talking to our fitness coach about Naiad, and they're like, leave and go throw up out in the parking lot, you know. But it was the last thing I wanted to say was because of all the intricate, you're even more impressed by the performances because you get to see a lot of the real life person intercut in the movie. And it reminded me a little bit of Christian Bale in The Fighter, where at the end of the he's kind of this meth head, and speaking of meth but he's this meth head. And it's an impressive performance, but then at the end of the movie, you see the real life person he was portraying, and you're like, holy shit, the accuracy of everything he was doing. And I think that really propelled him to his best supporting Oscar win. And it's like, sometimes when you get to see those, the side by sides, if it's not like a character, like obviously like Freddie Mercury or Princess Diana or people, you know, and you can kind of live with that accuracy,
right?
But like Diana Nyad, no one really knows. And Bonnie, no one really knows. But then you actually like see clips of Bonnie being interviewed and Diana being interviewed, you're like, oh my God, Jodie Foster was like right on the money here. And Annette Bening was right on the money with it. And it's not surprising. These people are the upper echelon of, you know, talent and execution, but yes, it's just something, crap. It's just something seeing it side by side.
I loved the closing credits. I loved seeing the captain of the boat. The ship. I loved seeing, I loved seeing all of them together. And apparently Jodie has been friends with Diana Nyad and Bonnie for years, just seeing them at Christmas parties and stuff. Yeah. And she said that Bonnie has a lot of tics.
Mm-hmm.
She has ADHD. And so she's got a lot of different things that Jodie tried to incorporate into her character. And she said that's the first thing she does, is she inhabits the body. The physical body is the first thing in her preparation. And Jodie, she was in great shape in that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really in great shape. They both were. And I think that
but she's a racquetball champion, the original Bonnie, I think.
Yes. Yeah. She's an athlete. Yeah. And I think that just their relationship was one of the most beautiful relationships I've seen on film in a long time.
Yeah, it really was. They nailed it.
It was so beautiful.
Genuine and immediately connected. And yeah, it's, I think that the triumph was for that entire team, more even so than Diana.
Were you crying when she's walking and Bonnie's there on the shore and she's like, we have to see her ankles. Yeah. We've got to see her ankles.
Do you want to know the scene that got me the most was when she came back and she decided to do one last ride, Bonnie. And she says, don't die, but if you're going to die, I'm going to be there. And I'll be
with the last face.
I want to be the last face you see. That was really powerful. God,
I was,
yeah. Don't die, but.
Don't die. Yeah. Because very, very well, she could have died.
Oh yeah.
So
if she gets hit by a stingray, there, because they raised the stakes there, you know, but it was really cool, man.
And those the box jellyfish that were the venom is so powerful that it can take you. And I mean, that's what I was saying about singular thought. Like when you're running a marathon, weather is an issue, terrain is an issue. But like I said, there's always like grounding things that keep you in your space, but that would totally freak me out.
No, the ocean is
enormous. The enormity. Yeah. And I mean, you go to Key West a lot.
Yeah.
There's
different enormities happening there beyond just the ocean. Lots of enormities in general, but for another time. Whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. That's actually Henry Ford. The power of mental manifestation. So
it's what it's all about. That your brain, you can tell your body, you can command your body. But the one thing that Bonnie said was that she wants to do it again. And she said, I'm clear now. I'm older. I have the brain for it now. And she says, you have the brain for it, but you're 60
50.
And your body is not built for that kind of distance. And she wasn't going for it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't decide if Bonnie was baiting her by saying that. Like it was like almost an encouragement. Like she was challenging her. I couldn't decide, or if she was just like, you're nuts, don't do it.
Yeah. I think she knew. I think their friendship was so deep and she knew her so well that she knew how to push her buttons. But in that moment, I think she was genuinely the same thoughts as everybody else, which was, this is nuts, which most people would think that, you know. So, and then I think once she saw the determination and she got in there, and there was even doubt whether she, because she's not a swim coach, so there was self-doubt that she had to overcome.
That was another layer I thought was incredible, was that she was not a swim coach, that she's just her just a friend. Person.
But she's like, that's what makes you great. And you know, and then it took that care and that passion. So overall great movie and a great message.
And Annette Bening's speaking voice, I mean, she's a star. She's a movie star.
Absolutely. So whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And whether these analysis fans believe they can or they can't, smash that subscribe button. They're right. They can do it. Smash it.
And they must. And they can kick and stretch.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming back on, Julie.
I love you.
Love you too. Keep training. And we'll see you guys too.
I'm mentally ready.
Yes.
Trust will follow.
And you know, do you have anybody that is not supporting you in your dreams? That's for another conversation. His name's Terry Sipes. So we'll see you guys all later.
Love
Thank you.
You
guys. Treat each other with respect, and we'll see you down the road. Bye. I hope you like the show, cause it's on a budget. So ooh-dee-la-dee-da, yeah. Come on, here we go, yeah.